Let's go, girls.
You're listening to Eco Frenzy,
University Radio Nottingham's official sustainability podcast.
Listen live on Saturdays from 3 to 4pm on urn1350.net.
DJ!
This is URN
University
Radio Nottingham.
Hello, everybody.
Hi.
It is University Radio Nottingham. And it is just past three, and you're listening to Eco Frenzy.
Woo!
All the girlies are here. We've got Erin, me. Got Georgia, say hi.
Hi.
Got Gabby, say hi.
Hi.
And we've got a special guest. Special guest Lily slash Liv slash Olivia slash whatever your name is.
Whatever you want to call me.
That's you're always like, guys, just call me what you want.
Just call me what feels right. Some days I'm an Olivia, some days I'm a Lily.
And today you're a promiscuous girl.
Today I am a promiscuous girl.
And we support that.
I just wanted to give a little mention. We just listened to Promiscuous Girl. That is by Nelly Furtado and Justin Timberlake, I think. And yeah.
I think it's Justin Timberlake.
I'm pretty sure it's got Justin Timberlake on the thing. Oh, it
says
Timberlake.
Maybe it's another Timberlake.
I know, maybe. That was a pick because, you know, this week we decided you've had a lot of Christmas songs. So we're going to do. Okay, actually, I lied. We are going to play a Christmas song, but that's irrelevant. It's not one you've heard before because it came out a couple days ago. But we are going to be doing a sort of. What songs have we been loving right now? It's sort of called. Good. I think the main theme for this episode is end of year good vibes.
Because we definitely all need some end of year good vibes. The end of term is always a rough time.
And it's been rough. We're all stressed. Yeah. We're
feeling it.
Feeling it a lot.
It has indeed been rough.
Which is actually why we've got Lily on the show today.
Yes.
Lily, why are you here?
Why am I
in the nicest way possible.
Why are any of us here?
That's
a bit too deep for us. Too deep for a Saturday afternoon. So this morning I was at Riverside, the Riverside Sports Pitches, and I was planting some trees. And we were planting trees to offset the carbon emissions from Buck's Big Wednesday this year. So it was organised sort of by UON Sport. I think Sean, the sports officer, like really led it. He was very happy to do it, and yeah, we went with you know, an aim to kind of plant about half the trees maybe that we had, and we ended up planting all 800-900 trees.
Oh wow.
All today, yeah. All
this morning. That's incredible.
You must be so tired.
I'm not actually, because it was a very, like, you know, it's something that should have made you tired, but it was so much fun that you actually end up being more energetic afterwards.
I can imagine if you were doing it for a couple of days it would have knocked you out, but you had a good sort of doing a bit, doing not a bit.
Exactly. And also, I mean, fun. I was with Jess, who...
I love Jess.
Yeah.
She is lovely, and she just makes you happy.
And does she or does she not have a broken wrist currently?
Oh, yeah, she does.
Yeah, she just got her cast off yesterday, still managed to plant some trees.
Well, although the listeners can't see, Georgia, would you like to wave your broken wrist?
Join the club.
There are no excuses for not planting trees this morning.
Exactly.
You should have been there.
Yeah.
Would you be able to explain what Buck's Big Wednesday is for all the non-sports people out
Yes,
there?
Apologies. I also didn't know what Buck's Big Wednesday was until I joined the sports marketing team, to be fair. It's basically, it's like the finals, I think, of like all the Bucks, all the Bucks fixtures, all the finals, they all kind of come to Nottingham. Like, we host it because we've got, like, obviously the facilities, and I think we're pretty good at marketing it. And it's in the, Erin made a very good point earlier, it is in the middle of the country, so Durham and Exeter, for them, rather than going Durham to Exeter or Exeter to Durham, or, you know,
sometimes even Edinburgh are involved.
Edinburgh, yeah, exactly. It's Nottingham's very central, so you get here pretty easily, and yeah, it's just a big Wednesday full of Bucks.
It's a lot of fun, and it is sort of that big final of the tournament, and a lot of UON teams are playing, so that also makes sense. We are very, very good. Sporting Uni, and we're next to Loughborough. They also are often very much in the finals.
And it's such a good time. Top of the table, actually.
Are we actually?
Yes.
Now, this is very personal to me, because my brother goes to Loughborough and my sister goes to Durham, and they are the top three every year of sports. So the fact that we're above Loughborough, because my brother's like, yeah, but loads of Olympians go to my uni. And I'm like, I don't care. I'm happy here.
I'm happy here without the Olympians.
So So I always love to hear that we're doing a little bit better in that competitive.
I think we've been doing better than Loughborough for quite a while, I would like to say.
Yeah,
in terms of the best sports uni. They've really, like, it's weird because they're known as a sports uni, but they're actually not the best sports uni.
Well, we won it in, was it 2019?
And 2021.
And 2021, yeah.
That's
probably know that because I am on the marketing team.
Also, if you walk past the uni, it's on the bullets.
It is.
Because we're very proud of it. But that's a big win for UON Sport. Massive win. Thank you for, you know, taking a moment to care about the environment.
Of course. Also, like, 850 trees is, like, that's a lot.
That's
like,
so
you guys
many.
Did that. Like, you weren't like, oh my God, we've planted a tree.
Yeah,
a singular tree. We've offset our carbon. Like, it wasn't like, it doesn't feel like it was a publicity stunt. You guys actually did go and offset.
And it was you guys doing the planting?
Yeah.
That's the other thing, because, you know, a lot of the time it's like, oh yeah, guys, we got someone to go plant trees. Like, that's not
like
the same
trees
vibe.
Have been planted. But no, like, I planted they.
You know
trees.
Where they are.
I know where they are.
Where are they?
The Riverside pitches, sort of like the Power League pitches behind them, there's like a hedge and it's sort of along that hedge. So in a few years when people are playing, there will be a nice row of trees, all different as well, by the way. We didn't want to make a monoculture. We had a proper like research document. We also got free breakfast, but with the free breakfast, we had a nice little research document that told us why those specific species of tree had been chosen, why we weren't using just one species of tree, because obviously it's not very good if you just have the same tree, and we kind of like the distance they needed to be planted apart. It was all very well organized,
like very official, very well researched, which we love on Eco-Frenzy.
We do love. And that's something actually we do talk about whenever we talk about, like, you know, you just add planting trees. Because you're artificially introducing things into the, like, the ecosystem. Mm-hmm. So I'm really glad, actually, that you guys, there was reason behind everything you were doing. There wasn't just like, oh, we're just going to plant a tree for the sake of it.
Mm. Yeah. And it's all part of sort of the wider pledge of UON Sport to kind of offset carbon emissions, because obviously it's very easy for universities to say, oh, we're going to make sure that we have, by 2050, our net carbon emission will be zero. Like, everybody seems to be saying something along those lines at the moment. And it's sort of just to prove that it's not just a sentence that's kind of being thrown about. Like, it is something that UON Sport are passionate about,
and
especially Sean. And Sean was very passionate about it today, and he was very into it.
Big up for Sean.
Insert I don't hear.
Wait, everybody, wait, give me 2 seconds.
Everybody close your ears.
2 seconds.
Oh, just for a minute.
No, I clicked on the wrong thing, so now it's gone. Right. Georgia, just before we get to, someone stall for me for 2 seconds.
So we have, well, I'll explain to Liv what this is. So Georgia is the specific stat man of Eco-Frenzy.
Okay.
She comes in with all the stats, and we have a special ident, which we like to use.
Indeed. Are you ready to hear?
So excited. Let me click play.
Stats. Georgia has all of them. And I will now give my stats. So if you are thinking about, I wonder what 850 trees actually offsets. Like, what actually does that mean? How is that helping? So for reference, one tree, if you plant one tree, that will offset one journey by plane to Amsterdam from the UK.
Wow.
So imagine it as like 850 journeys. Only two, I guess, not to and from. More like 425 return journeys to Amsterdam. So that sort of puts into perspective how much carbon is being offset by planting that amount of trees, which is sort of, it's meant to cover the travel, isn't it, realistically, everyone getting to Bucks. Mm. $2? No.
Exactly. Yeah, to Nottingham. Yeah. To Nottingham, $4.
That makes me feel really good, because when I did my semester abroad in Switzerland, in case I haven't already mentioned it, I do talk about it all the time.
You've actually never mentioned that to me.
Yeah, I actually did.
Really?
I didn't
I
know
genuinely
that.
I didn't know that.
Everybody who's listening, who I mention it to all the time, is going to be really, really like, oh my God, what? Basically, I used to fly from Leeds, because I'm from Leeds. I'd fly Leeds to Amsterdam, Amsterdam to Zurich, so there was no direct flight. And so that makes me feel really better about myself, because I didn't like flying to Amsterdam and then to Zurich, because I felt like two planes was worse than one. But now here we are.
That's probably two trees. one way.
Two trees. And well, two trees and back. I planted a lot more than two trees.
Exactly. So you've offset your travel.
You've offset your travel for your semester abroad.
So I've settled. Go. Yeah, I've like settled my inner peace is peace.
Your debt to the
your
world has been settled.
Guilt.
I've single-handedly saved the world.
Yeah.
That's
not bad.
That's why we've got you on the show today. Yeah, just exactly. As like a shining example of what everyone should be doing.
What can I say? I think it's now time for a little song break. Sally will be saying goodbye to Lily after this, but she's brought us good news. Wow. So you know what? She's keeping in line with the episode, and I'm really happy about all of that. It wasn't completely planned that she was going to come on, but she walked in. She went, "I've just been planting trees," and we said, "We know where you need
didn't
to go."
Didn't even
talk
do
about
any of
that.
The clout.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't even. It was because you care.
It's because I care.
Coming up next is one of my absolute favourite songs. It was released a couple of days ago. It's by the love of my life, Sabrina Carpenter. This is A Nonsense Christmas.
A DJ! This is URN University Radio Nottingham.
Hello, hello, and welcome back to Eco Frenzy.
We're
back. That was a very energetic. Welcome back. Yeah. We just listened to A Nonsense Christmas by Sabrina Carpenter. We're not playing Christmas songs particularly this week. We are just playing songs that we absolutely love right now. So we've got some more good ones coming up soon. As we kind of previously mentioned, we do want Eco Frenzy this week just to be happy. It's dark outside, it's cold outside, the frost is everywhere, and it's been a long year of environmental guilt and anxiety. So we thought...
Not just environmental anxiety, just anxiety in general, to be honest.
We thought we'd end the year on a really happy, positive note. So we're going to go through a few happy stories that we've seen out and about in the media. Seen on the news recently, and well, what we're loving about it. So, Georgia, Gabby, do either of you have one in particular you want to start with? If not, I can tell you one too. Can we start, Georgia?
Yeah, go on.
Let's go with the Rolls Royce.
Exactly. So, recently, Rolls Royce. Oh, why did that sound really weird?
Rolls Royce.
Is that, that's not the how it's, wait. What?
Rolls.
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 Like
Rolls
a car Royce.
Rolling down the hill.
Oh, sorry guys, I have dyslexia, so it means I can't talk.
Welcome to University Radio Nottingham.
Rolls-Royce and EasyJet have collabed to make a new engine. And the reason why this engine is super, super exciting is that it's for a jet, it's for a plane. And it runs exclusively on green hydrogen, which is made by renewable sources. So this is sort of like the first big step that we've seen to sort of tackle the big carbon emitting issue that is the aviation industry. If all of the aviation industry could move to these engines, like, wow, how much carbon we would be saving going into the world. So it was very exciting that they had announced it and that all of the tests so far are going really, really well.
Yeah, that's nice.
Sounds amazing.
Because sometimes they announce these things and then like a few sort of months down the line it goes, oh, I'm really sorry, it doesn't work.
Yeah.
And it's nice that so far that hasn't happened. Yeah. I enjoy that.
And also it sort of answers, if you are a long-time listener of Eco Frenzy, earlier in this academic year we did talk about the scourge. Oh god, my brain is not working. I don't even know if that's a real word. Anyway, that the aviation industry is on the world, and the fact that they have a goal of being carbon zero by 2050, and that no one really has any plans to get there or anything.
It's one of those empty promises we kind of spoke about earlier that it seems like universities do sometimes, but they're actually not. That's what we were talking about with the trees before, like they're actually doing something to make it, and this seems like it's one of those ones where they've actually put steps into place.
Yes,
lovely,
which is so nice to hear that if it's all going well, and that hopefully, you know, I think we could see maybe even next year, if they continue on this path, we could have a plane that could go into testing.
Ooh.
Because they've made the engine now, so now they've just got to put the plane, see if it works.
That'd be amazing.
And then hopefully, maybe in like 5 years or so, you could be travelling on carbon neutral, I guess.
That would be, as I said, aviation. That'd be absolutely amazing.
Yeah, because we complain about planes all the time, constantly. I think at least once an episode, we talk about the aviation industry because it's stressful and it causes us a lot of guilt as people who have flown places.
Yeah.
Have you?
Yeah.
Never.
Yeah.
We have also beer found some nice news from France to do with planes. I know England are playing France later.
Some of us are boycotting, so we wouldn't know.
Yeah, apart from Georgia doesn't know because she's not watching the World Cup.
Boycott.
And if you want to hear more about our thoughts on the World Cup and its impact on the environment, there is a really, really, really good episode of They Think It's All Doha, which is out on your usual URN podcast feeds. Give it a listen. We had a little chat with Dom about the environmental impact, and it was a really fun episode. It was really depressing, but a really fun episode to do, and we love to get the sports involved.
It was nice for Dom to finally understand why we were so depressed after recording our episodes of Eco Frenzy. He was like, oh no, I kind of like understand now why you guys are like a bit cynical. And we were like, yeah. It's rough in the Eco Frenzy studio.
Yeah.
Which is also why we're doing a happy episode.
Exactly. Yes. And also while we're just quickly mentioning Football World Cup, straight after our show today, there is a World Cup special, a preview of the England-France game that is on later tonight, which Dom Allen will be hosting, I believe. So stick around if you want to hear him chat about football. Anyway, back to flights. France has greenlit an idea to ban short-haul domestic flights to promote train travel instead. So what they're planning on doing is, these are flights within France itself, so domestic flights, and if it is less than 2.5 hours by train, they're just going to cancel those flights. Those flights are not going to be allowed because it's so much more convenient to just take a train.
I love trains.
I adore them. And whenever I'm in France, I do travel by train.
Yeah, I travel by train when I'm in France. I travel by train when I'm in the UK, when trains are running.
Oh, let's not go into train strikes right now because I am
sensitive.
My train got cancelled yesterday. Oh, it was an emotional day. A lot of plans were rearranged. So this is another kind of great step. So where we can't have those environmentally friendly engines like Georgia was talking about because they're still being developed, worked on, you know, they're not in commercial use yet. Just cancelling and not allowing flights that are, to be honest, a little bit silly. It's like when we're talking about celebrities flying from one part of California to the other. I know California's big, but guys, just take the train.
Or even, if it's really that deep, like for the celebrity one, drive. Like, I know we don't love cars.
We love cars, but they're better.
We prefer public transport. But if you've really got to have it private, why are you flying? Just drive.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. 100%. So this is a really interesting move to do. Let's see if any other countries like, you know, Germany, places like that are going to put...
Or the US. But their train travel is really, really bad.
Public transport in the US is shocking.
The US has a lot more, it's a lot bigger. France is not very big and they're getting rid of flights that would take 2.5 hours by train. 2.5 hours by train is not very long. Germany, the Netherlands, you know, other countries that sort of size in the EU because the European Commission have approved and think it's a great idea, basically. So I think the European Commission might be in favour of pushing this out a bit wider, particularly, as I just said, I think Germany would be the next country that would maybe look at doing this.
Or Italy.
Italy could as well. There's a lot of countries. They all have got trains.
The trains in Italy are fantastic as well. Like, when we were in Italy, we travelled, like, by train to all the places we wanted to go. Lovely, air conditioned, clean.
Oh, yeah.
Fantastic. You know, the trains in these places are really good. So,
why not use them? And also they're so like efficient in the sense that like they're not really ever late and they run regularly. So like you can rely on them. You can't like, whereas I feel like say for example this country, not that most people here travel by train anyway, like it's pretty rare that you would travel by plane around this country, but any case they can put that ban in place because the train travel is reliable. Why not do it?
Lovely stuff.
Go on, Germany, do it.
Yeah, go on. We dare you to do it. Make the train travel, not sorry, plane travel irrelevant, train travel better. That is the message of Eco Frenzy, other than live, laugh, recycle, which I am spreading as much as I can. That is my new motto.
Every time it gets wiped off the board in the office, she rewrites it.
I do. I
just live, love, recycle.
That just means that there's someone who just doesn't want to recycle in the
office. I know. And it's upsetting.
Recycling Grinch.
Honestly, who are you? We will find you. This is not a threat. We just want to talk.
It's a warning.
We just want to talk. It's a warning. Live, love, recycle will continue to be written on the board. Just stop wiping it off.
Yeah.
It's going to keep staying on the board. And yes, someone is messaging saying, can't stand recycling haters. Exactly.
Exactly.
We support you.
We could get into a lot about recycling. And rather than recycling, it's better to reuse. You know, our little 3-0 reduce, reuse, recycle. Something that's gone a little bit viral on TikTok recently is the McDonald's reusable packaging. So, Gabby, you're the one who saw about this. Do you want to give us a little update?
Yeah. So I am a TikTok fiend. I'm there all the time. I'm always on TikTok, and a lot of my feed is sustainable related stuff.
That just shows that you're like a true sustainable person, because TikTok is listening into your life, because it listens into of our lives.
It really does. It really like, me and Georgia have had like conversations recently, and then I've gone home and scrolled through TikTok, and it's been the exact thing that we were talking about.
Yeah, like, it's been really, really weird.
So specific.
But that just shows that you talk about it a lot, which means that she is truly part of EcoFrenzy. Yeah, and she does actually care.
Anyone who knows me knows that I talk about it all the time. But McDonald's, I also love a McDonald's, but I do get quite sad at the packaging, because also when it's even the cardboard stuff, because it's soaked in the grease, and we talk about this quite a lot, similar to the pizza boxes, because it's soaked in grease from the chips or chicken nuggets, whatever you're having, you can't actually recycle it because it's got food waste on it. So in France, there has recently been spotted reusable, like, McDonald's packaging. So, like, they've made the iconic red container that the chips come in. They've just made it in plastic.
It sort of looks like a cup that's a bit wider and is taking on that shape. But I'd say it's, the easiest way to equate it is to some sort of, like, a glass, but obviously more oval shape.
Yeah.
And it's got those, like, you know how the back's taller and the front bit shorter?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's got that.
And the same with their drinks cups, like reusable drinks cups, like you'd have in other restaurants. Do you know what I mean? Like, you'd have it in other restaurants, but you wouldn't necessarily have it in other fast food places. I think this is one of the first times, at least I've seen it, to have it reusable things in fast food places. And it's been retweeted by Emmanuel Macron. And he was basically like, love this. This is great. This is really good for the environment. This is being trialled in France. And it's, I think it's, if you're, many other restaurants, basically all restaurants other than fast food places, use reusable packaging when you're reusable, like, plates, cutlery, cups.
Yeah. Especially
when you're eating in.
Yeah, when you're eating in, it feels so pointless, and I've always felt that.
Same.
It's just like, just give me a plate, guys.
Yeah.
Literally.
Yeah. If it's takeaway, you can understand why they're not giving you plates and cups, although they could be exploring more sustainable options for takeaway packaging.
I've just had a crazy idea.
Go on, Erin.
So I don't know if this is viable, but you know how in coffee shops you bring your own reusable mug?
Oh, I see where you're
imagine
going.
If you just brought either, if you go to McDonald's a lot, your reusable McDonald's cup, or, and you know, then they could sell like the different personalized ones, different colors, all that stuff.
I love money. That.
Or you could just like bring in your own little lunchbox.
Yeah.
Imagine. And then, you know, all they need to do is put a little sticker on the side and everyone will know what's going in it.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, even if you're having it takeout, the same way with a takeout coffee cup, you could...
All I'm going to say is, if they've made it work for liquids, and we all know liquids are harder to deal with than solid food, because you need a proper container for liquids, they've made it work for liquids. I don't see how we can't make it work food. Just give it to me in my little lunchbox, please.
Yeah, I feel like this is something that's, like, a bit... I don't know why we've not explored this before. Like, how has it taken to 2022 for a fast food chain, but specifically McDonald's? Me and Georgia went on a little midnight Mackey's trip the other day, and we were talking about that McDonald's try, at least come across like they are trying really hard to be sustainable. Like, they reuse all their oil to power their trucks and stuff. How have they not done this before? Because I feel like, arguably, this is easier than reusing... like food oil as fuel.
I just think there's probably going to be a bunch of issues about cross-contamination. So, like, follow this through with me. In a coffee shop, where the way that you make a coffee is, it sort of like it goes into the cup, and like no other, like,
nothing else touches it.
Nothing else touches
yeah,
it.
Well, I'm seeing what you're saying.
I feel like if you introduce external packaging that's brought by the consumer, that into like a restaurant type place, especially a place that's like fast food, so they're trying to get through it quickly, it could be contamination, because you've got to think they've got to take it to the area where the, say like the burger's being made, but that area is normally completely sanitary and only the burger will touch, but you have to put the packaging somewhere, otherwise you'd have to like pick up the burger and place it. Do you see what I mean?
So yeah, is the fix for this that when you that you're able to buy the McDonald's specific one and then you take it back, and instead of it, them using the exact same one that you brought back, they put it into a clean one. So it's almost like swapped out, but then you would have to buy the chip container yourself. But then I think a lot of people would maybe see that as an investment, and you could do it so that you get money off your whole meal. Or so instead of it being a specific one that you can like exchange it for a clean one to cut out that idea of cross-contamination.
Mm-hmm. Can I just bring up what venues do, which is exactly this? It's your when you buy something, when you go to a concert and you get those cups that are plastic, that you just, when you hand back in, they won't give you your same cup again. They'll give you a new cup of the same drink, like even if you're getting the same drink. You could very easily do that, especially somewhere with McDonald's, where we know everyone's just getting chips. You know what I mean? Like, it's the same menu items that people are getting.
Yeah, because even if it was just for chips, say they trialed it just for the chips to start off with, because that's the same container for everything, because they have different containers for all the different burgers and things like that. But chips are chips. If they had the same container for all the chips, and like you said, that like they do in the drinks, with the drinks, you don't get your exact same one back. That goes into a big thing where it gets properly washed and sanitized and kept clean, and you get a different one back.
I think we've got the beginnings of an idea here, but I'm not sure we've got the end.
Sorry, I've got to jump in here. I'm sorry to be like the anti against this.
No, Georgia, but you're bringing up all the problems.
All I see is problems. What you got to think is, number one, will this actually work in actuality, in the sense that we are the more sustainable side of a consumer? Is a consumer, when they're visiting a fast food restaurant, often it's a spur of the moment thing. Are they going to bring their packaging with them? Realistically, probably not. Then you've got to think about the waste involved. Is it better to, say, throw away 100 cardboard grease-stained packets versus 100 of these plastic ones? Do you see what I mean? Like,
there's
going to be a lot of waste. There's going to be a lot of people going like, oh, I've got 5 of these chip things in my kitchen at home, ready to go back. I forgot. I just can't be bothered.
Then maybe is it behaviour change, and it's really hard. And then does it have to then, I suppose, like, be a consumer choice?
Yes.
That you choose to buy the reusable one, and there is just the option to buy it and send it back, and there's the facilities to do that.
Yeah.
But if you want to have it in the cardboard, you can have it in the cardboard.
Yeah.
Like it is in a coffee shop. There's just the choice to have it.
I think there's the starts of an idea, and obviously it's not our job. We are just spitballing this right now. So listeners, please just give us a break if it's not quite what you think. Then we could get a comment through that says, if there's something I've learned from this, it's that Europe are champions for green travel and Brexit is ruining the UK's carbon footprint because we aren't a part of the EU anymore.
Potentially.
This has been a very Eurocentric chat. You know, the UK might be doing similar. They're probably not, but I like to be positive, especially on a World Cup day. I'm sorry, guys. I don't normally care.
Boo. The World Cup. Boo.
Yeah, maybe. I know. World Cup in general, boo. But England beating France tonight, big deal for me, okay? I just want it to happen.
Fair.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I want a happy boyfriend. I want England win, and we've got a happy boyfriend.
That's fair.
I think that's such a valid.
No, it really
is. Honestly,
I don't even support football. I just want my boyfriend to be happy.
Yeah, you're like, I just want like my boyfriend, my significant other, the people in my life who care. I just want them to be happy.
I know more England fans than I do French fans, which is why I'm like, let's go England. We are gonna have a quick break because we've been chatting your ears off for a little bit. This is Nelly by Dr. Dog, which is Gabby's choice of song for today, I believe. Yes, Gabby.
Yes,
it's just been
stuck in my head for weeks.
DJ! This
is URN
University Radio Nottingham.
Hello everybody and welcome back to University Radio Nottingham. You are listening to Eco Frenzy. It is currently 20 to 4. It's 3:39. It's 20 to 4. It's a Saturday afternoon. The sun is about to set and the vibes are immaculate.
Yeah.
We've just been doing happy stories today and we just listened to a song that Gabby absolutely loves. And you know what? I love it too. Let's just say, haters, we don't care.
Yeah. Yeah. And I know who you are and I know you're sat in the studio and it's a great song and I will not have slander on that song.
EcoFrenzy is a supportive environment, I'd like to say. We accept all song choices made by the ITS hosts.
Exactly. Exactly.
It's hosts only though.
Oh yeah, no, everyone else.
Yeah, exactly.
So we've got a couple more happy news stories to discuss with you all today. But before we do that, a little bit of housekeeping. Oh, they're not in the studio. Okay, no one asked. No one asked. Shush. You were mean about the song. Your opinions don't count. So, a little bit of housekeeping. As always, follow us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Give us a rating. Tell us how much you love us. And we will have a podcast episode going out soon. Or you can go back and listen to all the old ones. Also, follow us on Instagram. We have now done 100 posts on Instagram. Amazing. Amazing stuff. I'm so happy that we've made it this far. A little bit of like an archive post sort of thing went out today. Gabby spent ages on it and she made it and it looks beautiful. It's actually stunning. And if you don't think it is, again, we don't care about your opinion.
Gabby is actually really, really good at social media. Like, actually,
sometimes
Erin
I get
well.
Jealous about it.
Yeah, both of you are. I could never.
To be fair, I will put out that Erin was the one who showed me how to do the reel because she did our, like, she did our first ones. So I'm just giving her credit where credit's due. She did the ones that we did, like, recapping our summer.
Oh.
She did those, and then she's passed the torch on to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because I wanted it to be, like, consistent, so I, like, double-checked with her how she did it beforehand. And I was like, okay, cool. Because otherwise, I feel like if it was different.
Yeah.
Like, our Instagram is very, like, I don't know, we put a lot of thought into it, like, where everything goes and stuff. Yeah. I didn't want it to be different.
I like it. No, it looks amazing. And I just want to take a moment to just say I love EcoFrenzy. And 100 posts on our Instagram is an insane achievement because we've had so many episodes.
We have.
So many. And I'm just really proud of us, guys.
Aww.
And I'm so happy that, like, I know this isn't our 100th episode, but, like, kind of
feels like
that
way. Yeah. Are we going to get to 100 episodes as us three?
I don't know. We might do. I'll have a count.
We'll need to work it out because it depends also if you guys include all the episodes you did during COVID. Because
yeah.
They're not even available as, like, podcasts or anything.
No.
They're lost.
Oh, yeah.
Lost to the world.
Actually, I have them all saved.
Oh, no. Georgia has
some
them.
Of them saved on a memory stick, which I've lost.
Right. So, Erin's lost them.
Yeah. Sorry,
and
guys.
And then all the ones me and Erin did last year. And then all the ones we've done this year as well. So, we'll have to work out when our 100th episode is going to be.
That's crazy. It actually is that crazy. So, yeah. Give us a cheeky follow. We want to get to 200 followers by the end of the year. I believe we're on 196. Something like that. So, if you're listening and you haven't followed, give us a cheeky follow. But now, I think we get back to the environment. We've done a little EcoFrenzy housekeeping. We've done a good pat on the back from us all. Oil.
Oil. What have you got to say about it?
I've got so much to say about oil. So, as I said, we're doing positive stories this week, and we never have positive stories about oil.
No.
But LA has banned oil and gas drilling within the city limits. Which is, it does sound a bit strange, and it does sound a bit, you're drilling for gas and oil in the city?
In the city.
But they have been. There are oil wells located all around the city, in lots of place names that I've never really heard of, but I've heard of downtown LA, West LA, South LA, you know, all that. So pretty much all over it. We've got downtown, west and south. That's like half of it already. So they've had oil wells and they have actually been doing oil digging and searching for oil within the city, which is insane when you think about it. So, and they've decided they're just going to completely stop, which we do tend to think of LA, California as a very progressive state in the US, very much left-leaning, very much environmental champions. But I like to hear it anyway. And it's a good little little promo, a good little like example to give to everyone else. You know, you can actually stop it.
And it does mean that, you know, you are going to have to get energy from elsewhere. But we've talked a million times about all the different types of renewable energy.
I like that all of our positive stories have not been UK-based, and I think it says a lot.
Okay, but, Gabby, I will find you a UK one.
Give me like half an hour.
I'm just, yeah, exactly. You need half an hour for it.
No, sorry. That was off topic. But, no, I think it's nice that they've, like, made an active change. They've passed legislation, which is great. We love it when people aren't just saying stuff. They're actually doing things. And also, it's, like, making a start on swapping to renewable energy.
Yes, and also shocking that considering how densely populated LA is, that they are doing that. Yeah. But it brings into question, if they're stopping it, are they then starting it elsewhere?
Yes, that is the only thing that we don't know, which is a shame because I'm not going to be able to find that out, guys. I'm going to try. And it's just it's a good start, and it's good to say we're going to stop it in this area. You know, at least that's a protected area that hopefully then it's going to improve the air quality, which just for health reasons, as someone who currently has a cold and a sore throat, it's important, I think, to have good air quality because my throat hurts. I'm ill. I just want nice air.
And LA has such bad air quality because the amount of traffic and because everyone there, again, because public transport is not very good in LA.
Which seems like it should be a place where it is.
Yes.
Because it's very densely populated, for considering it's the US, and the US tends not to.
The public transport is awful and everyone drives everywhere, which means that there's a lot of people that are, you know, single person driving. That's why they have things like carpool lanes in LA, which I think
carpool
are
karaoke
really fun. Yeah, exactly. Where the concept of that is that if there is more than one person in the car, you can drive in a separate lane.
Yeah, which is
often traffic free.
Yeah.
Which just again proves the point that there's so many people that are just driving single people in cars.
Yeah. When I found out about the concept of carpool lanes, it's not something we have in the UK or in Belgium. I was like, wait, what? Like, the fact that that's even necessary?
Yeah.
I was quite, like, shocked at. But then if you look into how much the US has struggled with public transport and things like that, it does make sense.
Yes.
Like, people are going to drive anyway, so let's at least, like, try and get as many people in one car as possible.
Yeah, exactly. And, shout out to one of my good besties, Miguel. He is from LA, lives in LA, but not anymore. He lives in Boston now. Anyway, he's the one who informs me all of his public transport because he does not drive. So he has to take public transport around LA when he's home. And he is always telling me about how awful it is, how the train systems are bad, but also because LA is on a fault line, the San Andreas fault,
yes,
for all you geography nerds out there, they can't have an underground. They can't have a metro system because you can't have a metro system where there's... when it's going to be an earthquake, because an earthquake could just come and just destroy the whole thing.
Which is, it feels like what they need. And we did have a comment in saying they do have two person in the car lane plus lanes in Bristol, which is true.
Which is exciting. I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah. I do know that because I've used them, so I should have known that.
Yeah, everyone, you should know that.
So there's somewhat of a carpool lane sort of system in Bristol, which is really interesting.
Yeah.
But Bristol is also seems to be quite a champion of the environmental stuff sometimes.
That's so true, actually.
Yeah. It's a hipster place.
I love that.
It's very me. It's very oat milk lattes.
It's so it.
We've had a positive UK story sent in. Someone is making plastic bags that are biodegradable through water contact, not just pressure and heat.
I like that. But what if you're using them in the rain?
It is the UK.
Yeah. But then, to be fair, it might be that they need like quite a lot of water to do that.
And it might be they need to be like put in and soaked. Yeah, it might take some time. We don't know the details on this,
but I do.
Good place to start.
I like it. I like that we're exploring other options.
Mm. Yeah, I agree. I also have a positive story about Nepal, and it's about trees because we love trees here on Eco Frenzy.
We love a tree.
So it has recently come out that Nepal is almost at 50% of tree cover for their land use, like their territory. The entirety of Nepal is almost covered. Half, yeah, that's right, covered in half by trees, which is quite exciting because basically in the sort of 1980s, Nepal had a real issue with deforestation because it was part of the culture to basically cut trees down to provide energy, to provide warmth. It's a big part of how they lived, but they needed to protect quite a lot of the native species that lived there. Nepal was, you know, it's got tigers, it's got rhinoceroses, it's got so many cool animals, but they were, you know, dying out because of all this deforestation. So this was back in the mid 1980s. Nepal's government made this sort of like big legislation, which I think was, you know, ahead of its time. You know, ahead of its time. So basically, they entrusted the protection and management of the forests back to the local communities and volunteers. So rather than say like, okay, we're going to take control of this, they're actually saying to the people that live by those forests, we're going to make it your problem, I guess, and responsibility.
Yeah, and it's assumed that they wanted that responsibility because they had the knowledge.
Yes.
Of how best to support that ecosystem, I guess, because they are part of it. And if you're living that close to it, you'll be part of that ecosystem. You'll be getting your food and water from those places. So, and we'll have also like generational knowledge.
Yes.
Of all the plants there, all the animals there, and just probably cared a bit more.
And also they are the ones that would be affected directly by there being deforestation, but it also leads into that behaviour change aspect, is that if there is part of their culture and what they know to like cut down trees, so then be told, okay, we're going to give you the protection of trees, this area here, all these trees are under your protection, if you choose to cut them down, then you choose to cut them down, but then there will be no more trees. So it's sort of saying to like, it's that education aspect of the wider impact.
Rather than just saying, no, sorry, you can't do that. We're not going to let you do that, and not allowing for people to learn and develop and given time to look at other options.
Yes.
Without still impacting, I guess, without their current way of life.
Yeah, because I think people's culture is important, especially if like I said, generational knowledge, generational traditions, if their culture involved that was their way of life, the way that they'd always done things. You do need time and education and money,
yes,
and support to stop that, to not stop that, but to develop and adapt to support the environment in a different way.
Yeah, exactly. And also local communities are going to know what species will thrive there and which ones don't. So when they're then given the say, they've been told, okay, you can plant as many trees as you want, tell us which bulbs you want, which seeds you want, we'll get them for you.
Yeah, and it's also what's going to work for them. So there aren't going to be trees there that they're going to cut down and use but then not be using properly because they're the only trees there. But then it's also going to make sure that the stuff there is useful and what they want, which I think is really important. And it's a really nice sort of give back to the community sort of ideology as well. Mm. Of it doesn't all have to be government control. I love the idea of like little communities, like little villages, things like that, just working together with a common goal. And it brings everyone together a little bit because it, as I said, gives you this common goal, but it's also making sure you're servicing everyone's needs. And every community is going to have slightly different needs. And it's one of the problems we see with like big governments is that they can obviously, they're doing it for the wider good.
Yeah.
They're not doing it for everyone individually. But when you put that power into the small groups of people, they benefit so much more from it, and they can just, you know, do what they like.
Yeah, it's that bottom-up approach.
Yeah.
Community-level grassroots, which is sort of what we need, because every community is impacted differently by climate change. And your community is going to know what you need to do, what they're being affected by.
Yes.
Directly, so love it. I thought that was really fun, and it's nice also to see an initiative that was put in place in the 80s come to fruition now, rather than us trying to put an initiative in now and hope for the future.
Yeah. I think we've got time for one little last story, which is all I'm going to say on this. Apparently, that renewables are on track to produce more energy than coal in the US for the first time this year. So in the US, their production. So this isn't energy, I believe, that they are importing from elsewhere. And it is just talking about coal, not talking about fossil fuels, because they are slightly different, actually, I believe.
Yes.
What is it? Coal is 20%, nuclear is 19%, and they are on track that more than a fifth of all electricity will come from hydropower, wind and solar, and a fifth is 20%. So it's a bit over what Cole have got. And then Nuclear's the third one at 19. Which sounds great. Sounds lovely. Just a little final positive thing to talk about is about the US. But, you know,
yeah.
We'll allow it.
I love that. I love that they're investing more into renewable energy. And I know that's a big part of the Biden administration, is that they're trying to invest in clean futures and green jobs, and yeah. And the way that they're sort of selling it to maybe the more right-wing members is that they're creating jobs and they're creating economy out of this renewable energy, which I think is the right way to go.
And which they are. And I remember talking with whoever I was on when he got elected in. I don't even remember when that was. 2020?
What?
That Biden got elected.
Yeah, I feel like
yeah.
It. Yeah.
So I think it was eco-frenzy back in the day. Mm. That basically what he had to do is get rid of a lot of his pro-environmental manifesto because it was too pro-environmental. But it's really nice to know that that's the foundation of where we started. That's the mentality he had from the beginning.
Yeah.
And now we're kind of working up towards that in every which way we can. Lovely. That's been a nice, happy chat.
I know. So lovely.
Really has.
We just got a message. Is this your last show of the semester? It is.
Oh. Unfortunately.
We're so
term
sorry.
Term ends on Friday.
It does.
So we miss our Saturday show next week.
We do indeed. And we will all be busy for Christmas, but we have plans. Don't you worry. What are you even thinking about doing?
There are things in the works.
There's actually quite a lot.
There is so much in the works.
Sometimes we say that and there's nothing in the works. But this time
we're not even lying.
Yeah. Instead of spending like 3 hours planning this episode, we spent like 2 hours planning something else and an hour planning this episode today. But that's still a lot of planning for this. We found you the important stories we wanted to share. We've played a lot of songs that everyone has enjoyed, but we are ending on a Georgia song. But before we do that, and Georgia, I'm going to let you introduce it and say goodbye to everyone finally before Christmas. Final thoughts, girlies?
I hope everyone has a really lovely Christmas or holidays, depending on what religion you are and what you celebrate. And also a nice new year. And I hope that the new year in 2023 brings everyone the best year of their lives.
Aww.
And also to these girls here, because I really love them a lot. I think they're really cool, and I think everyone should think that they're cool because they are cool.
Georgia, we love you, even if you're older than us.
Whoa, Erin, that was so uncalled for.
Gabby,
like it was.
Yes,
I'm not
spent hours.
But I do it when it's called for. When she's acting old, I'll tell her she's old. But she was actually being nice to us.
I know, but I love you, Georgia.
But she is old.
But it is true that I'm old because I'm the only one who doesn't do the social media. Don't you think that's funny?
That is. Well, comes on to what my final thoughts are. Keep up to date with the Eco Frenzy Instagram. We're going to be sharing some Christmas tips and tricks that we've spoken about in previous episodes for having a sustainable Christmas. We just didn't want to rehash it for the third year in a row. So we're going to be doing it on the Instagram where you guys can, so you guys can check that out. We've also done our 100th post on Instagram, so check that out as well.
And
it's going to be great.
To 200 followers, so give us a follow, and maybe
if you don't follow Eco Frenzy, you're a silly goose.
So true, Gabby. And my final thoughts are just live, laugh, recycle. Georgia, can you please introduce the song that Eco Frenzy is ending 2022 on?
It's been a lot of pressure.
It is a lot of pressure.
I mean, the other two hosts won't understand this, but if you watch RuPaul's Drag Race, which I'm a big fan of, you will understand the significance of this song. And if you do, message into the show, because I'd love to chat to you about it at some point. But this is Shut Up and Drive by Rihanna.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.